So despite the Indonesian government's best efforts to stop their publication, a trilogy of books written by the recently executed Bali bombers is being sold in bookstores in Jakarta. The books by Amrozi, Mukhlas and Samudra were written in prison while they were awaiting execution for their role in the 2001 terrorist attacks in Bali, which killed 202 people. The writings, dubbed the Martyr Trilogy, cover a range of topics from biography to Sharia law, and even interpretation of dreams about the Prophet Muhammad. But they stop short of inciting violence, and that's where the Indonesian government's attempts to get them off the shelves becomes unstuck. Sydney Jones is the Indonesia director of the International Crisis Group and an expert on Southeast Asian terrorism. She joins us on the line from Jakarta. Welcome to the Book Show.
Thank you very much.
Tell us about the books that make up the Martyr Trilogy.
Well, it's actually, there's more than one trilogy. Each of these men wrote several manuscripts in prison. Mukhlas was the most prolific. He is believed to have written about 18 books. And there's three publishers, all linked to Jamaah Islamiyah, or JI, which have issued these trilogies. And they're all separate pieces. The one that's gotten the most attention is published by a company called Ar-Rahma, and it's this very glossy, well-produced set of books, very nice graphics, and they each feature the photo of the bomber in question in same kind of style, slightly different colors, one's green, one's red, one's blue, and they're packaged as the Martyr Trilogy, and are available for sale not only at a recent Islamic book fair, but also at a couple of publishing of bookstores in Jakarta. But the government has made it very clear that it's not happy with the publication.
So what's in this book, this trilogy that you've particularly talked about just then?
Well, the Amrozi book is a straight biography. Not a particularly interesting or good one, because he's probably the least smart, and certainly the one least used to writing.
A memoir, you mean?
A memoir. Just straightforward. I grew up, I went to school, talks about his role in the bombing. But it's more a straightforward memoir. The one by Imam Samudra is much more a justification for getting involved in jihad, with a specific focus on going after officials who don't hold up Islamic law. And the book by Mukhlas is the one that's probably the most bizarre, which is about dreams and about the ethics of dreaming and when it's most when dreams bring you the most religious reward, which is before and after noon prayer, according to him. And then the second half of the book is all the dreams he had in prison about meeting the Prophet Muhammad.
So on the question whether the publications actually break any laws, the one you've just mentioned about going after officials, that sounds a little bit borderline to me.
I think one of the things the government's trying to do is to figure out where that borderline actually is. Where's the threshold, and what constitutes incitement that would make such books illegal? I think they have to be very, very, very careful about drawing the line, because I think that the thing that we don't want to see is Indonesia begin to ban books the way the Suharto government banned books. And I think they ought to err on the side of caution. But I think there are other things they can do to try and prevent some of these books from reaching the public. And one of them is just to enforce tax laws.
The old tax law approach that that worked so well in the U.S. for mafiosi figures. But what action have they actually taken?
Well, we know that there were efforts made against the publishers to try and warn them not to publish the Martyr Trilogy. And initially these books were advertised in several radical magazines, and the publisher took orders, and then the books never appeared. And we kept seeing apologies come out on both their website and in some cases at on flyers distributed at major events where, for example, Abu Bakr Bashir was going to speak, saying that, "I'm sorry, we're not, we still don't have the books, and this is why." And then they explained that the publisher that they originally were going to, the printer they were originally going to use in East Java, had been approached by the police and warned against printing the books. And they had to find another publisher, and they had to go through, I think, three before they finally got one who was willing to publish. And when they were finally all ready and nicely packaged and so on, even then they weren't being sold in the same way that some of the Ar-Rahma books had been sold before. It was more you had to ask for them, and then they would be produced and so on. Now the publisher says they're selling like hotcakes. They're doing extremely well, thank you.
Do we know what sort of circulation they have?
It's not clear. An average print run for Indonesia for a normal book is about 5,000. I mean, a 5,000 print run would be a bestseller in Indonesian terms. And I don't think that they've exhausted the first print run. But just for comparison, Imam Samudra's first book, Me Against the Terrorist, or Aku Melawan Teroris, went through four print runs. And the only reason that it didn't have a fifth print run was because of government pressure.
So what do you think the effect of these publications will be?
It's difficult to judge because there are books that are actually far more radical than these books. For example, translations of Zarqawi, the Al-Qaeda insurgent in Iraq who was killed, has the translations of those books have been circulating in Indonesia for the last 2 years maybe, and those are far, far more potent than the books written by the Martyr Trilogy. The impact of these books will be to further solidify the impression within the extremist community that these men died a glorious death as martyrs.
What about the one by the person known as Iman Darmawan, the Australian embassy bomber, called What is Jihad? And I'm told that it perhaps might come towards being an incitement. For instance, I understand the attack is justified because he didn't attack Muslims.
That book is a straightforward guide to jihad. It's not a lot different from other books that are circulating, but what makes it different is the cover page talks about him as being someone who is a direct practitioner, and it gives his name as the author, and then says bomber of the Australian embassy on the cover, as though that's another attraction for buying the book.
Mm.
That also it was printed by a publishing house set up by a former prisoner who was just released. And one of the interesting things about the radical publishing houses more generally is how many prisoners do translations while still serving their term in prison for books that are later published, or publishing houses that have been set up by prisoners after their release. So it's very much tied in with some of the key people in the JI network. Even though that's the case, I still think we're better off not banning books and not trying to clamp down on the publication, but to actually go after these people economically.
But that will have the same effect, won't it?
Yeah, I think it'll have the same effect, and I think it's much better to try and reduce the scope of these books getting out to the public. But there's a lot of them, and it would just be. An almost impossible task to figure out, again, which ones crossed the line and which ones didn't.
So in our last half minute, do you think the Indonesian government is doing enough? Are they trying to balance internal politics with their international reputation?
I think they're beginning to try and engage more agencies than just the police in this task, and I think that's all to the good. I think they're trying to involve Ministry of Education, Ministry of Social Affairs, and even the Department of Foreign Affairs because exactly of Indonesia's image.
All right, then. Thank you, Sydney Jones, for joining us on the Book Show today.
Welcome.
Sydney Jones is the Indonesia Director for the International Crisis Group. You're listening to ABC Radio National with me, Ramona Koval.